Good morning. Great to see you. I'm so grateful to be here. I am very thankful to see you here. We're going to begin welcoming even more students back as we get ready for our spring semester. We're delighted to have students in our audience today, and we're very thankful for those that will be coming, and we want to pray for their safety and think about the great blessings that they will experience and that we will experience because of them. It's a great blessing always to see our young people sitting right here. I love that. I appreciate that. I want to talk to them every now and then in a very direct way. And for just a second, I want to talk to them in a direct way this morning. We are getting ready to enjoy what is called Glory Days. And this group of young people over here will be a great part of the service in that particular celebration. And I want to thank you in advance for your service. And I encourage every one of you to be involved in service in that way. Something special planned for you. It's a fantastic opportunity for you to be of service to people who need you to serve them. And it's going to be a great blessing for you. I can tell you every time any of those of us who are older see you serve, it is a great joy for us to see you. And it's a great blessing to you because of how it makes us feel about you and what you appear to be to us as you serve. So, young folks, I encourage you to be willing to be a part of that service and then a part of everything that our youth group does that is good. It is good for you, but I'm telling you, it is good for us. And then on the other hand, I want to talk to some of you folks that are older who do not like to admit that you're older. I want to encourage you to give these young people a fantastic opportunity to serve you. It's a great time. If you've never been, please consider coming and call the office and be a part of that. It's an important time for them to have the opportunity to serve, but it's an important opportunity for us to give them that chance and to be a part of that. And I'm hoping that you will do that. The second thing that I want to do before I begin preaching and want you to just know on the front end, I'm not taking time off of my sermon here, but I'm adding to it to encourage people to think about our family day 2 weeks from today. Every Lord's Day is a special day because it's just that. It's the Lord's Day. It's not my day, not Billy's day, not the elder's day, not your day. It's the Lord's Day. And our opportunity to honor the Lord by encouraging each other, the opportunity to honor the Lord by thanking and praising and glorifying His name is an unbelievable opportunity for us. And our elders, I think, in wisdom, have selected the 31st of January, if that's the right date. Let me look. It is the 31st of January. They have dedicated that day to honoring our families, to teach us more about our families, to encourage us more in our families. And I hope every one of you who have children, grandchildren that live away from here, we'll invite them to come and be a part of our family day, to honor them by letting them know we care about them and we want them to be a part of our family day. But I'm hoping every one of you will make it an opportunity to be here with us and to listen to our good friend and brother Sam Jones encourage us. He is a super person who knows a great deal about the family. He has practical experience. He has a wonderful family of his own, but he knows God's message about families, and he'll be encouraging us and blessing us in that. So be a part of that. Now, last Sunday, I am confident that every one of you that was here, you could repeat the sermon that I gave from Ephesians chapter 4. And so I won't go into that because you are already so familiar with that. But what I did was I was encouraging you to think about what the daily Bible reading can mean to you in being a better family if you will listen to what that daily Bible reading says to you. Now, I told you last week that I was going to do what I'm going to do today, and I'm telling you this sermon, if you were really wise, and this shows that I'm not sometimes, this sermon should have come before that one because this is the foundation of our daily Bible reading. We are looking to a passage from the book of Hebrews in chapter 6 that teaches us that God is looking for us to be better. He's looking for us to have things better. Now, there's concern on the part of the Hebrew writer for those people to whom he was writing in the first century. And I'm telling you, this message could be written to us today. It is, isn't it? We are to read this and we're to think about what does this mean to me? What does this mean to me about being better, period? All year long, that's our goal, that's our plan, that's our thinking, to be better. And for this quarter, we've chosen better in the family. And so we're looking at how this affects us. If the daily Bible reading means anything to you, hopefully it will cause you to look at your life, to look at yourself, and see how you can be better. There's a need to be better. If we take a look at our congregation in a broad sense, the Hebrew writer speaking to us, look at the concern in Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. Some of you, the writer says, should be mature enough to be teaching other people. But instead of teaching other people, you are still stuck in a very elementary place in your life. You still have need of milk. You still need much teaching. You still need so much encouragement. And the reality is we don't ever get out of that. But we stay at a level where we're not willing to, we're not prepared to, we don't feel good about teaching other people. There was a concern from God through the Hebrew writer about those people, and that same concern is about us. People who stay where they are. People who want to worship God, they love God, but they come to a building to worship and they go away and they make little preparation to teach other people. There's a great concern from God about me, if that is me. He warns them about the peril of not progressing. We need to leave these elementary principles and we need to press on. And there's going to be judgment about that. There's great peril for me if I stay where I am and I don't improve and I don't get better and I don't listen to what God has to say. The concern is great. It starts with our young people. We have a lot of Christians sitting right here in this group. You need to be preparing to teach people. Teach people your age. Teach your friends. We sing a song sometimes, "You never mention him to me." One of the sad things about my life is when I decided to become a preacher, and some of my high school friends back in Memphis found out about that, do you think, wow, that's exactly what I thought Roy Sharp would be doing with his life, is giving himself in ministry. Nope. I was so interested in social things. I was so interested in fun things. I was so interested in being liked. I was so interested in fitting in. I rarely encouraged my friends to think about the Lord in the way that I was taught to think about the Lord. And now I sing that song, "You Never Mention Him to Me," and I have to look back at some people that I loved in high school, in junior high school. And I have to say, boy, I never said anything to them. You see, you need to be growing. But you see, we understand a little better if these people are stuck for now. We understand a little better, not fully, but we understand a little better. But when we get away from that teenage stage into college and into our working lives and we do what we do, we don't understand as well, and we look out there and we need to be concerned about not growing, not progressing. And you see, some people had fallen to the point where it seems that in the mind of the Spirit of God, directing the words of the Hebrew writer, some had fallen so far that it was impossible to renew them again under repentance. And God is not saying, listen, you're so far out there, I'm forgetting you. God isn't saying, even if you were to come back, I wouldn't take you. Now, what God is saying at all, we can look at the prodigal son who completely rejected the father, who completely rejected his will, his way, wasted his substance in righteous living, as we read Luke 15, beginning in verse 11. But when he determined to come back, God is showing us a picture of him. God would come running if we would come back. So the problem is not with God. It's with those who have rejected God so much, and they've become involved in a lifestyle that's so far away, they will not change. You know, those of us that are growing older, if we aren't careful, we'll do that. We'll go away from helping people, teaching people, and I've got a built-in excuse. I'm old. I'm sick. I remember being in South Carolina to preach in a meeting, and I was there with some folks that I loved dearly. They had been to Freed Hardeman, and they were taking me out to eat. And there was a little guy that was about 4 or 5 years old sitting between me and his dad. We were on our way to the restaurant, and he had a real slow-talking voice like this. And he said, Daddy, do we have to go to church tonight? This was like a Monday night going to a gospel meeting. And his dad said, why, yeah, Mr. Roy's come and he's going to preach in a meeting tonight. And we need to be there. We want to be there. And he said, do you not want to go tonight? And the little boy said, Daddy, I'd like to go, but I'm sick. The little boy was sick of Mr. Roy's preaching, most likely. But you see, he's like me. He's got a built-in excuse if he's sick. Sometimes we have a built-in excuse and we do not think. And it might be that some of you who used to work, who used to teach, who used to do things, have gotten to the point to where you're willing to say, I'm sick, or I'm old. And you don't do what you need to be doing. You aren't involved in the way that you need to be involved. There are different ways we just kind of drift away from God. So there was concern. Now, this is the greatest thing to me about this passage. Even though there was concern, there is confidence. Look at verse 9. Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, though I am concerned, though there are some people that have gone so far away that it's impossible to renew them, though there are some that are still stuck where they were when they became Christians, they haven't really grown any, though they are there, I've got confidence. You see, I've got confidence in this group right here. We will hear great things from you. We'll read about some of you, about the great work you do in our world. But more importantly, the great work that you will do in the kingdom of God. I'm confident of that. Do we need to grow up? Some of you would say, boy, I sure need to grow up. I haven't taught any of my friends. I haven't been encouraging to any of them. I need to grow. You would say that. But the Lord is saying what I'm saying to you. We're confident. I'm confident in the rest of us that we don't have to stay where we are. We don't have to go back. We can be better because God is concerned about our salvation. And though God will warn us, though He speaks with concern at times, I am confident, God says through this writer, about things in your life concerning salvation. Well, what gave the author confidence regarding the people reading this letter? what would God say today about confidence that he has in all of us? Well, first of all, here in verse 10, he tells us God does not forget our work and our labor of love. Man, what an unthinkable blessing. You do something good, God puts it in his book. When we stand before God to be judged, the Bible teaches us the books are going to be open. God makes a record, if you will, of certain things. And he has his book on Roy Sharp. God will not forget. He is not unjust, and that means he's not unfair. He's not going to let you work and do good things and then go off playing golf or fishing or doing whatever God might do as we think about it in terms of recreation. He's not going to go off somewhere and forget it. He's going to keep it in his mind, and he's going to remember. And he says, you have ministered to the saints. God will remember what you've done back there. All the things that you're doing, all the service you young people do, God will remember all through your lives, all the way to judgment. But what are you doing now? You see, we do minister. We work today. It's not just that we're resting on what we did yesterday. We're doing it today, verse 10 says. And look, in this verse, he says, thinking about service toward his name. You see, most of us are ready to serve God. I am so thankful I'm a part of a congregation where most people are ready to serve each other. When somebody gets in trouble, one of the neatest things that you hear people say is, wow, I didn't even think anybody knew who I was. I didn't think anybody cared. When life gets hard, there are people that will serve God, serve his name by serving you. What a great blessing. God does not forget our work and our labor of love. Now, the Hebrew writer teaches us that God has a desire, as the Hebrew writer expected. We desire that each one of you, who does that leave out in our room, in our congregation, in our world? We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. We hope that what we're doing is going to be meaningful to God. God says it is. I'm not forgetting your work. I'm not forgetting your labor of love. We hope that you will show the same diligence all the way to the end. You worked hard yesterday. You are working hard today. We want the same diligence from you all the way to the end. And verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish, but you imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. That's what verses 11 and 12 say. We need to be diligent. We need to be full of faith. We need to be patiently working and waiting and helping while life moves on. You see, we need diligence with regard to the work because that will regard our assurance of hope, this passage teaches us. We need to be diligent all the way to the end. It's not enough to get to retirement age and think, now I'm through. Now the young folks can do what I used to do. Now I don't have to worry about being diligent anymore because, you see, I am at retirement age. Or it doesn't work to be over here and say, wow, nobody's expecting anything of me now. I'm young. I'm still in school. I don't have anything to do. And that could be to those folks all the way through college. We think tomorrow, when I get out of college, then I'll begin my adult life. There's not a college student in here who wants to be thought of as a child. We're adults. And so we don't think like that. But we want to be diligent now, wherever we are, whether you're sitting over here in this group or anywhere else in this room. Diligence unto the end. And the reason is none of us want to become sluggish. What a great comfort God gives to us. Look at this. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, God promises us this about our sins when we turn to Him, when we are diligent in our faith, in our labor of love, God will blot out every sin and remember them no more. What a great contrast. God is not going to be unfaithful, unjust, by forgetting our good works. But He is so gracious. He will blot out every sin and forget them if you and I would turn to Him. We need not fear that God will ever forget our efforts to please Him and serve Him. God seeks to show Himself strong to those who are loyal to Him. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 teaches us that. God's going to remember. He's going to care today. He's going to care tomorrow. He's going to care every day of our lives. And so we need to be thoughtful people about doing God's will. If you are a Christian and you become sluggish, wouldn't you want to turn that around and do things that God will never forget? Do something today that will encourage God to forget every sin and remember them no more. If you've never come to be a child of God, wouldn't you want to begin a life of diligence by repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being buried with Him in baptism, so that your diligence can be seen by God, acknowledged by God, and He would wipe away every sin? No one has done things that are so bad, but that God will forgive if we will come to Him. And so this morning, that's our purpose in singing this song, is to encourage anyone who needs to come to God for any reason to come. Let us stand and let us sing.